Welcome to the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit myc3church.net. Wherever you are listening from right now, get ready to receive as God has a word just for you.
Amen, amen, amen. Hey, I want to pray for us here this morning before we come into the word. We're really unpacking these stories of Jesus. And we're calling the series the title, The Stories of Life, because they're not just kind of nice stories like, cool story, Hansel. It's like real stories from Jesus to us that actually can transform our lives. And the reason they transform our lives, and the reason actually Jesus spoke in parables, was because he actually wanted to bring something to the people of the day that was relatable. He put it in a context that they could understand, but he also put it in a context that they didn't understand. Because what he was really looking for was for people to understand the story behind the story, the message behind what he was saying. And so that when we talk about the parable of the seed, it's really a parable of openness. It's about being open to God's word. But and as a general principle, it's good to be open in life, to try new things. Some of you are missing out on the best food in the world because you're just afraid to try new things. And so being open is a good principle, but that's not what Jesus was talking about. He's really talking about being open to God, his purpose for your life. And so when we talk about this, which is really about faithfulness, it's not really just about being faithful with our work or with our relationships or being faithful with our money, because all that's important and that's good. But there is something underneath this story that is much deeper. And God really wants us to open our hearts and really open our ears of our hearts, so that we're willing to go, hey, I might be new here today. I might have just been coming for a little while and I'm not super sure about this whole God thing. But if you'd just be willing to open your heart and say, maybe there is a God who loves me so unconditionally, who had a plan for me before I was even a twinkle in my daddy's eye, who had a destiny and a purpose for my life that was way bigger than just kind of saying some religious prayer and turning up to a religious experience, but actually this was the purpose of life, that I would respond to something that would put me into alignment with God's purpose for his creation. That God has a calling for each and every one of us to outwork his love, outwork his grace, outwork his purpose. And it's really, really, really simple for people that are simple like me. It's just loving God and loving people. So when we were worshiping before, if you're a guest here, you're like, what are they doing? They're clapping their hands there. Because we're in love with one, Jesus. So when we're worshiping, we're not putting on this rock concert that's just kind of fun and we're engaging. No, we're all worshiping the audience of one, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because we're so convinced that his love for us is so great that we can't help but pour it out back to him. But we also can't help them that pour it out to one another. And that's what it is to love God and love each other. And so I want to pray for us, if we could stand, that before we even get in the word today, that God would begin to open our hearts to his purpose, that we would understand what it means to be faithful, to be a steward, not to just the things that we kind of have in life or the stuff that we've consumed or what am I trying to say? Acquired, thank you. There's a better word, but it's just disappeared. Anyway, not to the stuff that we pull together in life or the relationships we make, but there is something deeper. That God has given us a purpose that he is calling us to be faithful with. A life that is so much more than you think. And for some of you today, it's like going to be the biggest wake-up call, but the most amazing wake-up call to a purpose that you never knew existed. And as I was praying for us all in preparing this word, I really had this heart for people that are contractors. She prayed for them a few weeks ago as well. And people that go in and, my brain is just switching off all the time. Consulting. Thank you so much, my love. So listen, I felt this, that there are some of you that are really gifted. Like you have a real calling and you feel almost hemmed in by your impact because you're there for so quick. It's like you come in and you go out. and it might be a contract for a year or 6 months or even just a couple of months, and you feel like you're just doing this and you keep hearing about having purpose in your workplace and having a calling, but you feel like, I really feel God wants to touch your life today and give you wisdom and insight how to have a lasting, significant impact into the communities and workplaces that you step into. So if you're a contractor or you consult for people, you kind of have a short-term thing, I just want you to lift your hands to God and just open up your heart, because I believe that there is something that's going to happen in your life here today where you will come in and the heart that you have to bring significant change to an organization and the gifting and the wisdom that God has placed in your life, that will surely happen, but there will be a deeper exchange that happens where you will step into people's worlds for a very short period of time, but you will find the ones that are open, and God will illuminate to you the hearts that are ready. And God will help you step into a place to develop a relationship. And that relationship will extend beyond the contract. And it will be genuine and real, so that when it comes time to say, hey, why don't you come and check out this community of faith I'm a part of? It won't be a cold call. There will be an ability for you to sustain, maintain, and open relationships. So Father, we just thank you right now that God, you are calling us to be your light, to be your love, to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, that you are calling us to come and bring your Spirit. So we pray right now that you enable us, that God, you are calling all of us into purpose in your mighty name. And Father, we pray for everyone. If you want this word, just open your heart, open your hands to God. Father, we pray for every single person in this church, that God, you have called them to a purpose and a calling. Father God, that you would enable us, Lord God, to go out this week, Father God, with the grace and love of God, that we would faithfully steward your heart for people, that God, we would go out and love people. Father, we thank you, Lord, that what you're calling us to do sounds a lot like work. And God, it is work unless we are enabled by your Spirit. And then it is purpose. And so God, we call into being the purpose of God into this church, that it's great days are ahead, that this location will see an impact in this community like never before, that God, you are moving in our lives like never before, that God, we're more radically open to your presence today, we're more radically open to your calling today, we're more radically open to your purpose today. Father, fan into flame the gifts and callings of God in our lives. Let our lives make a difference. Let our lives come with purpose, that God, we would step into summer, Father, with a new fire on our lives to see a new day for this church, a new day of impact, that not only a few that preach the word or worship and sing would come to bring ministry, but that every single person in this church, Lord God, would find their calling, their gifting, and their purpose in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's praise God. Oh, praise Him like you've got purpose. Praise Him like before this message, you were just turning up. But from this moment, there's a shift. I'll praise Him like He's the King of Kings. Praise Him like He's the only one that matters. Praise Him like He's got a purpose, an eternal purpose for each and every one of us. Father, we worship You here today, and we thank You for Your word. We pray that it would come out clearly, that it would help us to move forward, and that You would help us to love You and love one another. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Amazing. God is good. Thank you, Tarawa. Hey, someone who is doing a great work for God is Tarawa Martin, first and foremost, who is just phenomenal, who loves more people than I can care to count. She just is constantly reaching out and loving people. But another person in our church who is doing a phenomenal job is Katie Haldane. And Katie has a deep passion for people to know and understand the Word of God. She's preaching at our Silverwater location today. If you didn't know, we're one church of many locations across this city, and we have one single purpose: to see this city know Jesus. And so we really encourage every single person in our church to find what their thing is and go for it. And her thing is the Bible. She loves the Bible, and she loves helping people understand the Bible. So she has released her own Bible called The Trash Your Bible, because the whole point of the Bible is for you to trash it, not to throw it around and not care about it, but to get in there and take notes and understand it and listen. You scratch the surface on this thing, it just keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper. So she wants to help you with that. So she's got a Bible. You can go to her website, trashyourbible.com. That's simple. There you go. Go to her website, and you can actually grab this. And awesome. It's actually really cool, because it's kind of nice. It looks nice too. And then there's a Bible companion, and you can go through there, and it's got commentaries and notes you can take, and it's really, really cool. So even though she's not here, can we just celebrate with Katie? She launched it yesterday. It's amazing what she's doing, and we're so grateful for her and our church. I'm going to have a sip of water. I'm going to look at the time. I'm going to slightly panic, and then we're going to get into it. Okay, so the parable of the miners, and this is a great story that Jesus... Hey, Kaz, you're amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That was wonderful. I wanted Beyonce, but what you brought was brilliant, so thank you. The parable of the miners is amazing, and a miner, if you wanted to know what it is, it's not a bird. It wasn't like the parable of the Indian miner. Does anyone hate miners? I love all of God's creation, but they're really annoying. But it's a parable of the miners, which is a sum of money. And it was a significant sum of money. One miner was they would say, the equivalent of 3 months' wages. And so the story unpacks that Jesus is telling the story to these people that are following him and listening, that he tells the story of a young lord, a nobleman. It's found in, if you wanted to go to your Bibles just to get ready, we're going to unpack it a little bit later, but Luke 19, 11 to 26. So if you're someone who reads their Bible as we go along, you can go there now. And it's about this story of a nobleman who we can assume was probably a prince because he's about to receive a kingship, he's a kingdom, he's about to become king. And so he says to his servants and to his people, he says, hey, I'm going to go and become king. I'm going to actually get a kingdom. I've been faithful with this particular area. Now I'm going to go and become king. And a lot of the people in his community didn't want him to be king because people generally don't like to be told what to do, particularly Australians. God bless us all. And so he goes out to go and get his kingdom. And on his way, before he leaves, rather, he comes to his workers, his employees, and he says to them, hey guys, while I'm gone, I'm going to give you each some miners, and I want you to go away, I want you to multiply this thing, I want you to put it to work and go and make work. And so he goes away, but for some of them, they were super pumped, they were super faithful because they knew the master's heart, they understood their purpose, they understood what it meant to be a steward and to be faithful, and they went for it. But there was one who didn't. Say, uh-oh. So he comes back and he says, hey guys, come and tell me what you did. And one guy goes, hey, I took that money you gave me and I turned it into 10. He's like, 10? That's amazing. That's like incredible. That's better than any bank, any managed fund. That's amazing. You've done really, really well. I'm going to give you 10 cities. So see the jump? He's gone from money to influence. He's gone from something that it's awesome, it's money, but he now talks about influence and authority. So he says, I've seen you've been faithful with this, I'm going to give you 10 cities. Another guy comes to and he says, hey, how did you go? And he said, well, I actually took it and I've come back with 5. And he goes, that's amazing, I'm going to give you 5 cities. And then he comes to the last guy, and the last guy goes, well, I don't really like you. And I don't really like your style. I don't really like your leadership style. You kind of expect a lot from people and you don't do very much. I don't really see you kind of doing it yourself. I'm kind of meant to be making things happen for you and I don't really get that. And you're pretty scary. And so I thought what I'd do is I'll just hold on to it for you. I won't lose it. I'll just hold on to it. And then when you come back, I'll give it back to you. He's like, you wicked and lazy servant. He said, I'm going to take that thing and all that's yours, and I'm going to give it to the guy that's faithful. And this story is ultimately about stewardship, which is about our ability to be entrusted with something and do something with it. To be given something for all intensive purposes that has come as a free gift and say, what am I going to do with this free gift? I'm going to put it to work. I'm going to do something with it. So my question for us here today as we unpack this story is, what can we do today to be more faithful and fruitful with the gifts, grace, and love we have freely received from God? What can we do today to be more faithful and fruitful with the gifts, grace, and love we have freely received from God? So the story starts like this in verse 11. It says, as they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable because he was near to Jerusalem and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. So this parable, it says, as they heard these things. What's these things? This parable finds its context in a story about a guy called Zacchaeus. So Zacchaeus is a Jewish man. and he is supposedly a follower of God, but being under Roman occupation, which Israel was at the time, he had been employed by the Roman government to be a tax collector. If you're a tax agent here, we love you, you're amazing, you're awesome, we love paying taxes, we love our country, and we love it. But the context of this story is this is a tax collector who has been paid by an oppressive government to go and oppress his people. So he goes, and he's not just that, he's the chief collector. So he's collecting tax from you guys, but then he's also got other guys going out to work for him to collect tax from you guys, and he's taxing those guys. So he's not super popular with the community, and he's not super popular with his employees because he's kind of crooked. And we know he's crooked because he's not just doing that. He's meant to be collecting a certain amount of tax for the Roman government, but now he's kind of taken some on the side to fill his own pockets. So this guy's not loved. He's not been super faithful. As someone who would say, I'm a Jew, I believe in God, he's not really stewarding the gift that God had given him. He's not really reflecting the heart of a father that loves his people. And so he's way off. Say way off. So because he's way off, people don't want him near him, but he's heard a story about a man named Jesus. He's heard about these lives that have been transformed. He's heard about the most marginalized, oppressed, pushed away people have been brought into this guy, forgiven, been given grace, and received purpose and a calling. And he's like, maybe I need some of this. So he finds his way through, and he can't get through the crowd because no one likes him. And he's short, so he can't see. And so he decides, I'll climb a tree to look down. And so he climbs this tree and he's kind of looking down and he's like, who is this? Oh, there's Jesus. Look at all these people. And he's kind of, and he says he's looking at him. He's just kind of noticing him. But then it says that Jesus looks at him intently. There is something about the look that in that look transpires grace. There is this incredible engagement that happens in that moment where he's looking down going, I don't know what you can do for me. And Jesus is looking up saying, I know exactly what I can do for you. I have something for your life that you need. And he says, Zacchaeus, today I got to come eat with you. Of all the people in the town, all of the faithful religious, all of the people doing the right thing, he says, I'm choosing you. So he comes down from the tree, takes him into the home, and they kind of fast track the story. He gets out of the house with Jesus after the lunch, and he said he takes him into the public, and he says in front of everyone, he says, Jesus, I'm so transformed by your love and grace. I've so realized what I need in life. I'm giving away half of everything I owe to the poor. And then anyone I've cheated, I'm going to return back to them fourfold. I'm going to give them four times what they took from me. And Jesus says this. He goes from saying, I must have lunch with you, to now saying, salvation has come to your home. Salvation, guys, is not a free ticket out of hell. Salvation is when your life is so profoundly and impacted and changed from the inside that the way you live changes everything about the present and absolutely changes everything about the eternal. God wants to transform some lives here today that simply by saying yes to Jesus. So if we ask the question, what could we do today to be more fruitful and faithful with the gifts, grace, and love that we freely receive from Him? For some of you today, it's simply by saying yes to Jesus. That He has freely given you a gift. There is no cost to it. He has paid for every sin, everything that you're ashamed of. He has paid for it in His blood. He went to Jerusalem just shortly after this story to hang on a cross, to pay for your sins, to be crucified and condemned, but He did not stay dead. He was resurrected to new life so that He is the one name that we lift above every other name. And He is offering you today freedom and salvation. And all He asks you to do to be faithful and steward that gift is say yes. Is say, I want that. And so in this story of life being transformed, we're seeing this happen all through the gospel. It's happening in the Roman centurion who didn't really know a lot about Jesus. All that he'd received was just a tiny bit of information, but with that tiny bit of information, he had stewarded it faithfully and said, I must get my servant well. I'm going to have faith in God and send someone to say, Jesus, can you pray for this guy? Even though he didn't get the full picture. We see it in the lives of the women that have given up their entire life, their security in the home, because they've received so much love and grace from Jesus, they've given away everything to follow and pursue and serve him. So while the people are waiting for the kingdom, they're waiting for the Messiah, Jesus, to come and make everything change, they're missing the point. It's already happening. It's happening in the life of the centurion. It's happening in the life of these women. It's happening in the life of Zacchaeus. Something is happening in these hearts that God has given something to them. And he says, I'm going away to get my kingdom. And when I come back, I know I'm going to see some fruit. Because something is happening in these lives to be faithful stewards. Faithfulness is fruitfulness. Verse 12, he says, therefore, a nobleman went into the far country to receive himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. And so we hear this heart attitude that has been consistent from the day God created us to the day that God redeemed us, to the day that God will come back. There is a consistent attitude in the heart of humanity that says, we do not want this guy to reign over us. That God has a purpose for his creation. It's his creation, P.S. He's the boss. He's the king boss. He's the boss boss. And he loves us with such grace. And all he's asking is for our trust. But humanity consistently says, we do not want him to rule over us. We want to be king of the great kingdom of me, myself, and I. And in pursuing self, we inevitably do the absolute opposite of the heart of the Father. We hurt one another, just like Zacchaeus. In collecting for me or my family, we forget about everybody else. What matters is what's mine. But the king comes and calls us into a new way of living, that we would foster and steward a gift, a message of hope to all of creation, that we would outwork it in a different way. What's crazy to me is that God, being God, could easily just come in and go, you know what? You're all going to get along. You're all going to work it out. Here's the way to live. And if you don't, you're dead. But he doesn't. He entrusts the very people mucking it up to set things right. He entrusts the very people that are causing the mess to make it better. And he does it by bringing a gift. The gift is Jesus. And he says, the gift is his gospel. The gift is his presence. The gift is his complete word. The gift is this, the ecclesia, the community. And he gives us this gift and says, go and set things right. And we do that by outworking this gift. But you also do that by outworking your gift. So Matthew 25, it tells a similar story, but rather than giving minas, Jesus talks about talents. And I think that's phenomenal. Because the word that we have talents, which means about your giftings, your comes from that word, talenton. It was amount of money that was so amazing that when they were looking for an English or a similar word to go, what's that person's got such amazing talents. So the very gift that God has placed in your life, the unique individual gift that is in every single life, God is calling not just to use for you, not just to use for your own, but to actually foster and steward and come and bring and multiply for others and for God. You have a gift. You have a purpose, and it is found when you say yes to Jesus and then you say yes to his purpose. You got a gift. And he's calling you to be faithful, which means he's calling you to be fruitful. So Jesus is walking along one day and he comes up to a fig tree to try and get some fruit because he's hungry. But there's no fruit on it. So he says, you stupid tree. That's paraphrased, the Jimmy version. He curses it because he says, the very thing you're meant to be doing, you're not doing. You're meant to be fruitful because faithfulness means you're fruitful. Fruitful just means that you have something to give. So again, I ask us, what are we doing today to be fruitful and faithful with the gifts, with the grace, oh, the mercy of God, and with the love that we freely received. He goes on in verse 15. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. The first came to him before him, saying, Lord, your miner has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, your miner has made 5 minas. He says, five. And he said to him, you are to be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Lord, here is your mina, which I kept and laid away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. Wrong perspective. You take away what you did not deposit, and you reap where you did not sow. He said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping where I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, and at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10. And they said to him, Lord, he already has 10. I tell you that everyone who has more will be given, but the one who has not, even what he has, will be taken away from him. So here are some lessons from the unfaithful and the faithful. Number one, we are in partnership and we have something to bring. We're in partnership with God and we have something to bring. The perspective this servant had was that the master was someone who reaped where he did not sow. The reason he reaped where he did not actually sow, because his perceptive was like, you're a bit lazy, boss. You kind of just go off and do your thing and I'm meant to do all the work. Exactly. Because what he's given us is not just work. If you get it from the wrong perspective, all you'll see it is as work. But when you understand what God has actually given you, he's given you purpose. Who wants to go to work and do nothing? Maybe some of us, but that needs to change because you're called for a purpose. Every boss expects their workers to return something. And it's not because he's a severe man as the story does. That's more about illustrating the people. God is very kind. He's very gracious. But you're missing your purpose because you're in a partnership and you actually have something to bring. You have something to give. You have something you can do. Too often we pray, God, you go, you fix, you do, but he's calling us to work with him. God, thank you that I have all I need from you. I'll go, I'll work, I'll fix, I'll do because you have enabled me to do it. We have a place in partnership with God, and our greatest purpose is using the gifts he's placed within us. Second point, don't lose it. Don't lose it. What the unfaithful servant had was taken and given to the faithful. When we fail to value something, we lose interest in it and increasing the chances of losing it altogether. What you don't use, you will lose. I tried to learn Italian. I was real diligent for about a year. I got quite good. Then I got lazy. And I didn't use it for about a year. One day I met someone who was Italian. And they said, oh, I'm Italian. I said, hey, I speak Italian. I realized very quickly, I don't speak Italian. Because what you don't use, you'll lose. When you fail to value what is in this place, what is in his heart, his purpose for you, you will lose interest. Church will become religion. You'll come, but you won't be here. You'll be here, but not here. You've met your husband. He's like that. He's in the room. He's not in the room. He's a mile away. And your faith, which was once so precious, drifts back to all the other things calling for attention in our lives. And we find ourselves living a religious existence. And church is boring. I attend, I give, but nothing's really happening. But let me tell you, God wants to fan into flame the gift of faith in your life again. Because I got to tell you, what kind of drifts in one generation is lost in the next. every move of God is lost in the third generation. But I'm telling you, not here. We will be faithful. We will steward the gifts that God has placed in our life, not just for our own lives, but for the lives that are coming. In our youth this morning, we have had one of our biggest youths of the week. Jesse Ditchfield is the greatest young leader on the planet. I want us to support him, encourage him, and partner with him so that we can see a new generation rising up with the calling and purpose of God. You can fan it back into flame. You don't have to lose it. You can keep it. I've got to finish. The small is a test for more. I know it's a bit cliche, but go with it. I remember once I was in a staff meeting. Pastor Phil was praying for us all. And prophesying over us, which is like, if you don't understand what that means, it's kind of like when God, if God is real, right? If God is really, really loving and caring and he's real, he speaks to us. And he'll kind of speak in pictures sometimes. You'll see something or you'll feel something. And so prophesying is just kind of declaring that over people. Or it can just be simply encouraging people. So Pastor Phil is like encouraging us about all that we're doing, but he's also kind of speaking into what he sees for our lives. And he comes up to me and he's praying for me and he kind of does this thing that Pastor Phil sometimes does. He goes, he steps back and he's like, he says, man, the reward of your work will be more work. And I went, that doesn't sound like a reward. That just sounds like you want me to work harder. He said, the reward of your work will be more work. You see, the master didn't repay in money. It's not about money. I don't think the master really cared anything about the money. To him, it's like 3 months' wages. Like, we go, that's a big deal. He's like, I'm a king. It's nothing. So why was he so cross when he didn't do anything? Well, because he was looking for people to carry his kingdom. So what he said was, he said, man, you did 10? Oh, love your heart. You care. So the reward of your work will be more work, but it'll be different work. I'm going to take what you gave, you give me 10 talents. I'm going to give you 10 cities for you to have influence over. Because I'm looking for people who have hearts like mine. You see, what he gives him is influence. If you're faithful with the little, God will give you more. But not just more of the same stuff. He now starts to look at your ability to bring influence and change because God is looking to have a global phenomenon called the kingdom. He wants to see a global shift. He wants to see the kingdom of God come now, not when Jesus returns. He wants to see it outworked now. And that is culture. And culture comes through influence. So if God can trust you with your heart in the little, he knows he can trust you in your heart with more. You see, the test of the small is for more. There's more, there's more, there's more. And God wants to give you more influence. Some of you are crying out, if only I could just have an impact. Well, what are you doing now? What are you doing with the small? Because the small is a test for more. It's a test for more. When we are faithful with a little, God will give us more influence, more purpose, and more fulfillment. Check this out. This is from the take of the parable of the talents, right? Similar story, different kind of time. Matthew 25:21. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. He wants to just not just give you more influence. He wants to give you more purpose. True happiness is found in a fulfillment of life. And God wants to give you more. He wants you to walk up on Sunday. Oh, sorry, Monday. I rock up on Sunday. You rock up on Monday for work. And you're going to go in there rather than going Monday-itis. Oh my gosh, this sucks. You're going to step in and go, man, I feel so much purpose alive in my heart because I've rearranged my heart to be someone who wants to steward the call of Christ in my life. He rewards the servant with cities. It's about influence. Our faithfulness in the small areas means he can trust us in more influential areas. So what can we do today to be more faithful and fruitful with the gifts, grace, and love we've freely received from God? Lord, we love you. We thank you that you bring a word in a timely way. Father, we can see on the horizon for this location and for our great church across all our locations, Lord, we can see a great harvest. God, we know this because we can see that we're coming into summer and people are more open to come, more open to engage. And so, God, I pray that you begin to get our hearts ready for what is to come. Begin to help us to be faithful with the little, to be faithful with those that you have given us, to be faithful with the people in our Connect group, to be faithful with the team that we want to serve on, to be faithful with the location that we attend, that we would say, yes, I want to be a part of this, to be faithful in our workplaces, that we would take time for people, that while others are rushing, we will take our lunch breaks just so that we can sit down and talk to someone and help someone and engage with someone. We will take time to notice people, Father. God, that you would lead us into a place where we can be more fruitful, more faithful.
Hey everyone, what a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, how shall I go unless somebody send them? And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world, through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. Hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by using @C3 Oxford Falls.